This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. NPR senior news analyst Daniel Schorr joins us to talk about the week's news, obviously a week with much political news at the Republican convention. But many Americans have been saddened by the tragic end to the hostage crisis in Russia. Reports now say that more than 300 people were killed in Friday's confrontation there between Russian special forces and hostage takers in a school in the town of Beslan. A reporter on the scene there, Lauren Sheet, says that number is expected to rise. This incident follows the downing of two civilian airliners in Russia, which the Russian government says that terrorism is implicated. After that long introduction, good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott. Sad introduction.
And President Putin is clearly under increasing pressure to do something, whatever that something is, about domestic terrorism. There is certainly questions in this incident about the efficacy of Russian special forces, certainly also questions about the intentions of Chechen rebels, mm-hmm. if they were behind this and other attacks. How do you assess the mettle and the challenge of President Putin?
Well, this is certainly the worst crisis in Putin's 5 years in office. It's on the order of that hostage taking in a Moscow theater a couple of years ago. Putin knows only the traditional Russian answer to violence, that stormed the place. The other answer would be to give up Chechnya, but that's almost inconceivable. Putin is in the perilous position of having promised the Russians stability if they'd only let him take a little liberty with their civil liberties, with their press freedoms. He has not delivered. What he has done is to ban a lot of the coverage of the school on Russian television.
Mm-hmm. And it would be naive to think that more assaults and terrorist attacks aren't in the offing for Russia.
Predicting terrorist attacks is one of the more difficult things to do, but clearly the Chechens, if it is the Chechens, some people say there were Arabs there too, mm-hmm. They are clearly willing. What has happened, the important and the interesting thing that's happened to terrorism in this age, in this generation, is the willingness of people to give their lives for a terrorist cause makes it very difficult to deal with.
Before we move on, unexpectedly, former President Bill Clinton is in the hospital. He's facing bypass surgery.
Yes.
Mr. Clinton, of all people, I think, would pardon a parochial political question. Any impact on the campaign that you foresee?
Scott, I may be a little bit subjective here, but I must say the way that many Americans have reacted to this totally unexpected need for a heart transplant.
Bypass surgery.
Excuse me. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Goodness gracious, I thought that's no. We've really broken quite a story here.
All right, but
we,
no, but what I wanted to say.
And I'm sure there would be people lined up to volunteer one for Mr. Clinton, but please go ahead.
Well, that's my point. Subjective though it may be, suddenly you realize how much Bill Clinton, with all his faults, is a part of us. I thought the reaction to this was really quite extraordinary, even among Republicans, as to whether it affects the election. He is a good campaigner, and they can use a couple of good campaigners, so the answer is obvious.
Okay, now let's turn now full throttle to the current presidential campaign and this week's Republican convention.
Since 2001, Americans have been given hills to climb and found the strength to climb them. Now, because we have made the hard journey, we can see the valley below. Now, because we have faced challenges with resolve, we have historic goals within our reach and greatness in our future. We will build a safer world and a more hopeful America, and nothing will hold us back.
President Bush accepting the Republican nomination for president on the final day of the Republican convention at Madison Square Garden in New York City. Dan, the president certainly seemed to make the driving issue of his campaign fighting world terrorism and creating a safer world. What do the polls indicate as to what success that message is having?
Well, the polls have indicated for the past couple of weeks that on fighting terrorism, he gets support that he does not get on other issues like health care, like Iraq. Now, the latest Time poll, which I think was taken before the convention mm-hmm. was concluded, shows Bush now leading Kerry 52-41%, 11-point edge. Now, the war on terror is clearly President Bush's best suit. But in promising safety to America, he's really making himself a hostage to fortune. Mm-hmm. The United States has been happily free of the terrorist episodes since 9/11, which is almost 3 years ago. Look what's happening in Russia and Iraq, Beersheba in Israel. And when President Bush says America is safer, he'd better be with fingers crossed.
Let me ask you about some of the domestic initiatives that he did lay out. Mr. Bush expounded on what he's called creating an ownership society, increasing home ownership, enabling Americans to own their own health plan, making it portable, own a retirement fund. How do you think this idea might resonate with a good many Americans?
Well, I think it resonates with your more conservative Republicans, because it really is a statement of what the way the Republicans look at entrepreneurship. You know, it's very interesting that the Declaration of Independence, when originally drafted, said life, liberty, and property. That was John Locke's word, but Jefferson didn't like that and changed it to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I think there's a little flavor of life, liberty, and property in the way the president is now approaching this campaign.
But isn't one of the things Americans complain about, if they change jobs, their health plan coverage is often radically altered, or lose their jobs, their health plan and retirement plans are often radically altered?
That's right. And the president has proposed, but hasn't yet told how he'd pay for, has proposed the idea of having individual health plans where you have an account all your own. Well, account all your own. There's a 17% increase in Medicare premiums just announced. I mean, who gets that into his account? I'm not exactly sure how this idea of having Americans have their own pension plans, their own health plans, and so on, I'm not sure how it would work and how it would be paid for.
Let me ask about the protests at the convention. They were apparently the largest in the history of political conventions. More than 1,700 people were arrested, but there was very little violence. Who do you thank for this? The civility of demonstrators, the professionalism of the New York City Police Department?
Well, we had all these demonstrations in Seattle and Washington, and I guess they go on. I think we are getting to be accustomed to the idea that there's an element in America which protests and has the right to protest and should protest, and if everybody cools it on both sides, you'll get the worst thing you'll get is a couple of people or several people picked up and arrested for a while and then released. It's, I think, a part of the maturation of the society that it comes to accept protest.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, some demonstrators complained they were held for, I think, over 24 hours and not able to call.
That's true, and their judge ordered them released, habeas corpus. They were held without charge, and we still have some things to learn.
U.S. Labor Department released a job report on Friday, said that 144,000 new jobs were created in August. Both President Bush and Senator Kerry made some claims on this statistic.
That's right. And the fact of the matter is that the payrolls are up 144,000. Unemployment is down to 5.4%. President Bush says the economy is strong and getting stronger. Senator Kerry says there's a net loss of jobs, all part of Bush's record of failure. If you are a candidate, you can find a way of interpreting figures any which way.
Okay. Thanks very much, Dan Shore.
Yep.